is such a wide scope of topics, and it's really mind-boggling to think of all that through the lens of public health. I'm usually not a public health person. I do education and outreach and organizing around Israel-Palestine. I have a kind of a problem with this slide. We were supposed to show this slide. Everybody's supposed to show this slide. It's about not having any conflict of interest. But I have to say I do have a conflict of interest. I am an Israeli. I'm part of the Israeli economy. I grew up within the Israeli frame of mind that continues to repress Palestinians, to act against Palestinians, to try and take away their land, their resources, their water. I definitely have a conflict of interest. And I think you do too, as Americans. And I think this is actually the topic that we are here to discuss. This is the land of Israel or Palestine, two names for the same piece of land. These are not two separate countries which are at war. This is a common misconception. It's one place, and it is one place that is totally controlled by one country, Israel, one army, the Israeli army, and one economy. It's a very condensed economy. It's a very centralized economy that spreads over this entire country. The control of this area is different from one area to another. You have the areas highlighted in yellow that were occupied by Israel in 1967, and most specifically the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, where many Palestinians who are refugees from previous wars reside today. In the latest census of the Israeli state, it was revealed that today, in this land, Israel-Palestine, there is no Jewish majority. So the idea of the Jewish state in this land of Israel-Palestine depends on the existence of an army that puts non-Jews, mainly Palestinians, behind fences and walls, without civil rights, without the right to vote for the central government that controls their lives, without an army of their own, and self-determination. You see on the right the West Bank, and it is all full of these patches, the brown and blue patches. The blue patches and the light blue areas are all closed military zones. Palestinians are not allowed into these areas. The blue patches are Israeli settlements built on these areas. I know most of you have seen it before. I know all of you have heard about it before. Why am I showing it to you today? What's new? What's happening? Well, the point of the matter is that we think that, or we hope, that this is our next campaign, that the time is now for us to take action on Israel-Palestine, just because we have reached this point when we see for sure that governments will not pull out of this situation. This is getting more and more entrenched, more and more normalized and accepted by the governments of the world. And we are very quickly moving into a very, very overtly clear situation of apartheid in this land. I'm just showing you some of these images. A checkpoint that cuts the West Bank and doesn't allow Palestinian economy to develop, according to the World Bank. Doesn't allow people to move around freely and reach all sorts of services, including healthcare. And doesn't allow Israelis and Palestinians to build any kind of a joint equal society. These are images from demonstrations we have participated in the last few years, coming from below grassroots, trying to bring together Palestinians and Israelis, doing nonviolent organizing in protest against all sorts of policies on the ground. This is a Palestinian-led movement. It's totally nonviolent. It is calling for our solidarity and your solidarity. It is also facing extreme violence by the Israeli military, nighttime raids, arrests, administrative detention that are completely limitless, people held in prison without charge or trial for years, people shot at with live fire, dozens of people killed in nonviolent demonstrations, and more, just like any other totalitarian regime around the world. There is nothing new in Israel-Palestine, unfortunately. This is that new phase that I'm talking about. In 2005, in July, the entire Palestinian civil society has signed a call for people of conscience around the world, including us, asking us to use our complicity, this conflict of interest that I've discussed before, in order to make a difference. To think of our complicity in the U.S. economy that contributes all this money for Israeli arms, in the Israeli economy that exploits the Palestinians for so many years, to use our accountability in order to make a difference, to use our power as citizens, but also our power as investors or as shoppers, to make a difference. We do have that power. This is a call of Palestinian civil society. It's not really political, because the signatories to this call, we have the Islamists and the feminists and the women and the labor and the communists and, you know, people who really don't agree with each other on anything. But this is a call that says, let's use the power of nonviolence, let's use the power of civil society around the world in order to try and make a difference, especially on the economic powers that are at play here. Because the world doesn't anymore depend only on political powers. This is not the way it works. It doesn't work like that in the US, it doesn't work like that in Israel. We have a small number of tycoons that control the Israeli economy. Many of them are American tycoons. We don't need a lot of money to take over such a small economy. And there are money interests involved. And there is a lot of money to be had by occupation, by exploiting natural resources, by exploiting labor, but also just by developing an economy that might compete with your production or controlling their market for your goods as a captive market for your goods, to flood it with cheap goods. So the campaign that I really want to tell you more about is this campaign. You can go online, wedivest.org. It is a campaign that asks for us to stop our investment in corporations, in global corporations. Almost all of them are not even Israeli. Many of them are European and American corporations that have a direct complicity in human rights violations in the occupation, that help it maintain and entrench itself over the years. And their power is huge. Their power is also political power. We need to change their bottom line in order to change their policies. They don't care about human rights. They don't care about peace. They care about money. These are corporations. So in order to change the minds of corporations, you have to change their bottom lines. And we have the power to do so just by making it a little bit more pricey. We are not asking people to close down these corporations, and we don't have the power to do so. We don't want to do so. We want to change their policies. So all we need to do is to make sure that they have a price to pay for these policies. And then very quickly they move away. We already have some examples to show of corporations that have decided to move away from this very controversial piece of the world. So we're targeting this corporation, TIAA Cref. How many of you have heard about it? Oh, great, everybody. Almost everybody. This is a huge corporation. It's not such a bad one. This is a company that is one of the main pension fund providers in the United States and in the world. And as you see from their slogan, Financial Services for the Greater Good, they also have a socially responsible policy for their investments. They are pretty good. That's why we're targeting them. We want them to divest from the occupation and from those corporations that are complicit in crimes in Palestine, because they have a lot of money invested in those corporations. And when these corporations will get a phone call from TIAA-CREF, it will not be the same as me calling these corporations or you calling these corporations. This is a very big investor. So we're asking TIAA-CREF to divest from the occupation, or at least to offer us an occupation-free option, us people who are invested in TIAA-CREF as their, for our pension money. And I'm one of these people. So we want to have an occupation-free portfolio. We want to have an option not investing in human rights violations in Israel-Palestine. That's the ask. And there is a petition that I don't know if many of you have signed it or not. we can move it around the room and ask people to sign it, which asks TIA Aircraft to do that. And it is an organized attempt by people from within APHA. It's a specific petition for APHA coming from this conference. And why APHA? First of all, APHA itself is a client of TIA Aircraft. The staff, the little staff that APHA has, gets their pension funds from APHA, from TIA Aircraft. And secondly, because TIA Aircraft caters specifically to educational facilities and to health facilities. So many of the people who do work around healthcare are insured with TIA Aircraft. This is a huge or a big coalition of groups that is running this campaign nationally. You can see it includes Jewish Voice for Peace, American Friends Service Committee, Adela New York, Grassroots International, and many others. We have had events and protests and shareholder resolutions in the last 2 years all around the country. We're in fact asking people to become more than just petition signatories. We're asking people to also join us as organizers. Because in order to change the policy of TIA Aircraft, we need them to be targeted by, let's say, if you work in an institution where TIA Aircraft is offered as a pension option, get people who work with you to sign a letter to TIA Aircraft, asking TIA Aircraft to divest from the occupation, beyond the petition. They look at things like that. They care for things like that. They care about their image as financial services for the greater good. If they get enough of that demand from all around the country, for people saying, we want that option, I don't want my own pension fund to support these corporations, then they will offer us an alternative, and that is all we are asking for in the first stage. Let me give you some examples to these companies that TIA Aircraft is invested in. What are we asking TIA Aircraft to divest from? I will give you just 3 examples, but there are 5 actually. You will find them all on the website. The first one is Veolia. This is one of our main targets. This is, in fact, the flagship of the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, which arose in response to the call, that call from July 2005 of Palestinian civil society. Veolia is a French multinational, and they are the number one company in the world specializing in water privatization. They specialize in the privatization of public services and the de-unionization of people. They provide cheap services in order to abide by a public contract, but that means also that they are cheap in many other ways. They provide transportation services and trash collections and things like that. In Palestine, they operate this site called the Tov Lahm site. As you can see in the map, it is all in the blue and light blue area. This is an area which was totally ethnically cleansed from its indigenous Palestinian population on occupied land, controlled by the Israeli military, and it is one of the main dumps in Israel-Palestine. This is a place where Israel dumps its waste. It's a landfill for dry waste. Now, dumping your waste on an area that was militarily occupied by from another people is a violation of international law. It's in direct violation of the 5th Geneva Convention and of the Hague Regulations. It's a form of pillage. Taking over somebody else's land in order to dump your waste there is one of the worst forms of pillage because it destroys the land. And this is done by Veolia. Veolia also has a very large share. They are partners in another company that operates public transportation to settlements, and that means buses and a light rail system in Jerusalem. The buses specifically go to settlements, to illegal Israeli settlements, inside the Palestinian land, on Israeli-only roads, doesn't stop to collect passengers that are Palestinian. Palestinians living in the area don't even have access to the roads. In a way, these are segregated buses. But not segregated buses like in the Jim Crow South. It's not that people are sent to the back of the bus. They cannot get on the bus at all, and the bus goes on their land, inside their roads, on their roads that are also taken away from them. And services and settlements that take away more and more of their land. So people around the world have organized against Veolia. This has cost Veolia something like $13 billion in contracts around the world. When people have organized locally in local municipalities to declare their city Veolia free. Galway, Scotland is Veolia free. Edinburgh, Oslo, Norway, cities in Australia, cities in South Africa are Veolia free. Cities that have no Veolia contracts just passed a resolution saying they were Veolia free. Cities that had a Veolia contract organized in order to not renew it. They lost their contract to operate the underground in Stockholm, which was one of their biggest projects for 10 years. It cost them a lot of money. Specifically because of their involvement in international law violations in Palestine. So this is one of the targets, Veolia. TIAA-CREF is invested in Veolia in its social choice account. So people of you who want to invest their pension money in a socially responsible fund, not to be invested, let's say, in weapons directly, are still invested in these companies because just like many other funds around the country, Israel-Palestine was a forbidden issue. They have screened for human rights violations in many other parts of the world, but not in Israel-Palestine. So our ask is, use the screens you have, use the same criteria and the same values you have, but please also look at Israel-Palestine. Don't give that special impunity to that part of the world. It is not helping the people there. It's not helping the Palestinians, and it's not helping the Israelis. We don't need this impunity. We need your pressure. This is another company. I will just go over it very quickly. It's an American company, Motorola Solutions. They make radars that help take over land around settlements by detecting motion of Palestinians and not allowing them anywhere near the settlement, which takes over more of their agricultural land and water resources. And my last example is the famous Hewlett-Packard. I'm sure you've heard of Hewlett-Packard. They make computers and printers, but not many people know that. Most of their revenues come from the security industry. What do? They manage large databases of people. That's what they do. They have IT solutions to managing large IT databases for systems that are there in order to manage large populations. And these systems are most useful, for example, in this country, by the prison authorities in California are using HP systems in order to manage the prison population. And this is a stratified system, so it allows them to manage the system and rate people and grade them as to their supposed gang affiliation and so on. The same system is also used by ICE, Immigration Police, in order to manage the database of immigrants in this country. And a similar system is also used in the checkpoints in Palestine. You see it on the right-hand side on the top. This is a system provided by Hewlett-Packard. It's a biometric identification system installed in all of the major checkpoints, which is a system of magnetic cards issued to Palestinians who want to pass these checkpoints. It's a special privilege to have that card and to be allowed to cross the checkpoint. And it's part of a larger system of permits. This special privilege of movement can be granted or denied at will by the Israeli army. And we're talking about Palestinian civilians traveling between and among Palestinian towns and villages on their land. It's very similar to the system of control of movement that was imposed in South Africa during apartheid years on blacks. This means that people can have their special permit denied for all sorts of arbitrary reasons in order to impose pressure on them to collaborate with the regime or to, you know, testify against somebody who maybe organizes demonstrations in the village. This is how it's being used on a daily it's not surprising that this is how it's being used. This is how you keep a population down under a military regime for so many years. You have to use such measures. But Hewlett-Packard should not be part of that. And we want them to step out of that contract. And until they do so, we see them as complicit in all of the crimes of these checkpoints. I lied. Actually, my last example is Caterpillar, which is also the first example. Caterpillar was a company that was first targeted in this country for its violations in Palestine, because they provide these gigantic D9s to the Israeli military that are systematically used as weapons. Not just weapons, these are weapons that are specifically designed against civilians. In the modus operandi of the Israeli military, when they invaded Gaza or when they invaded South Lebanon, before the troops, you have a line of D9s going in and clearing up areas for the ground troops. What does it mean, clearing up areas? Taking down houses, streets, upon their inhabitants. That's what they did in Jenin in 2003. They went in and they leveled the refugee camp because there was resistance there. So instead of getting their soldiers in harm's way, it seems like a safer way to just go in and level the area. What does it mean? It means that people who cannot leave on time get buried under the rubble. It means that people who are disabled or the elderly get stuck in their houses. People who can leave on time, they run and they cannot even take their family album book because they have 2 minutes warning or 3 minutes warning. This is what it means. And we have many reports of all the major human rights organizations about how these tools are being used systematically in house demolitions and in human rights violations of very clear nature. And of course, one of these tools was also used in the murder of Rachel Corrie, the American peace activist who was standing as a human shield in front of a house in Rafah while it was bound to be demolished. And that's how this campaign started in the US. Why am I telling you about this company now? Again, TIA Aircraft was invested in Caterpillar in their social choice account, just like they are in Hewlett-Packard and so on, until recently. So we already have one victory to report. Thank you. And what happened? What happened was that one of the biggest index companies in the U.S., it's a Wall Street company called Morgan Stanley Capital International, MSCI. They provide all the indexing for the socially responsible industry in the country. So they are the ones who do the research. They have delisted Caterpillar. It happened already in February, but we learned about it only in July, I think. It took us a while because it's not public. It's only their clients that get that information. And when they delisted Caterpillar, they did it for several reasons because of the company conduct around the world, especially because of some labor disputes in Canada where they closed down a factory upon its organized labor and moved it away. But they also listed Palestine as one of the reasons. They said that this company is involved in controversial sales to the Israeli military of these bulldozers, and that poses a risk to investors. This is what it is. The controversy poses risks to investors. This is huge. It's a Wall Street company that says that human rights violations in Palestine poses risks to investors. This is our victory. This is our campaign. This is the risk. And thanks to that, TIA Aircraft, as well as many other investors, took down Caterpillar from their socially responsible investment because they were delisted from that index. So this is a direct result of our efforts in the last year or two. So what we're asking you to do, sign the petition is the simple thing. Ask people around you, especially if they are clients of TIA Aircraft, to send a letter to TIA Aircraft and ask them for this option. I don't want my money to be invested in these companies. We just want an alternative. Once we have an alternative, we will ask others to join this alternative. And we can ask other funds, not as good as TIA Aircraft, to follow suit. If you have TIA Aircraft representatives coming to your place of work, if you work in an academic institution or a health institution, they come there once in a while to explain their funds, to explain the investment options. Talk to them. Explain it to them. Ask them. We want an occupation-free portfolio. We want the option of investing in something else. And the last thing, as part of this campaign inside APHA, there is also a group of people working on resolutions. And in the last, 3 years, was it? 3 years. Every year, there were attempts to bring resolutions about Israel-Palestine to the vote in this glorious organization that has such a glorious history of taking on the side of the people and not the side of armies and militaries and occupations. And each and every time, this resolution couldn't come to a vote because they were killed in some committee using some administrative language, using some fear of controversy. We will continue trying, and I'm sure such resolutions will come to the floor again next year. But you should also ask for it. You should also say, you know, it's time that this organization, APHA, takes a stand on Israel-Palestine. Thank you.